Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
This morning, the title of the message is Escaping the Frustrations of Life, Embracing the Spirit-Led Life. And what I want to do is just read Acts 4 through 8, and then here in a few minutes we'll get to chapter 2, verses 32 through 44. But this will kind of get us where we are headed. But let's start in verse 4, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Verse 7. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority." Now watch this. This is our key verse for the entire text today. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that power. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray today that, Lord, that if our lives are a life of frustration, if our lives just feel completely disconnected and out of touch and out of balance with your kingdom, and our minds are busy and our minds are confused and a little bit chaotic, God, we pray that today we would understand what it means to be led of your Spirit and to experience your peace and to live in such a way that the Holy Spirit can glorify your Son Jesus through our life. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here several weeks ago, I love my zero turn. In fact, I mow my yard so much the grass barely has time to grow, and I enjoy it. But after a lot of rain, we have this drainway that comes around the back of the yard, and it comes around the corner, and it goes out the front, and it holds that water quite often, and so it gets pretty boggy. And I have to be very careful, or I'll get that zero turn stuck down in that bottom, and it just tears my grass up. So I went to my neighbor and asked him if I could borrow his push mower. And he said, sure. And so I went and got it. And I got about a third, and I have real thick Bermuda, and I got about a third of the front yard mowed, and I thought I was going to die of a heart attack. I thought, am I this out of shape? I mean, this is crazy. And then I realized it's a pull-itself lawnmower. I had been working against the gear-driven front wheels on that lawnmower all that time. And I thought, I wonder what this handle down here's for. Well, that handle right there is the one that actually pulls the lawnmower. And it felt like I was resting to mow the rest of the yard. And I was so excited about it when I returned the lawnmower. I said, "James, I just love your lawnmower because it pulls itself." But it took me a little while to figure that out. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And I want you to understand something. And by the way, this is a part of our Creator God series. But I want you to understand something about the Holy Spirit. Because so often, I think that we neglect the Spirit's work in our life. Now, the Spirit and the Son and the Father are all equal, all one. But it is the Holy Spirit that if you want to live the Christian life, you cannot live the Christian life if you're pushing the mower of the Christian life. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, you'll get frustrated. And if you're not being led of the Spirit, then you're probably frustrated even now. And I don't really know of anybody that gets up in the morning that wants to go to bed that night frustrated. But that's what happens when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work. You see, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself up on you. He does in a sense. But he is going to, as a believer in Jesus, born again and saved, he is going to give you and I the choice to make of whether or not we're going to die daily and let Jesus live through us. Now, when you see the Holy Spirit or you hear about the Holy Spirit, Don't think of the Holy Spirit as separated from the Father and the Son. Don't think of the Holy Spirit with his own personality that is completely different and apart from the Father or apart from the Son, because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. But they each have three distinct and different ministries that operate in this earth and operate on our behalf. And so when we think of the Holy Spirit and you say, well, I know I'm born again, but oftentimes I've lost my hunger for the Word of God. I know I'm born again, but sometimes I feel like God is not there when I pray. I know I'm born again, but I wonder sometimes, Lord, have you forgotten me? Are you leading the steps of my life? Sometimes we ask ourselves that question. A lot of times we ask ourselves that question. The answer is always in what we're doing with the Spirit of God that operates within us every single time. You see, Jesus said that he would take of what is mine and he will declare it unto you. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Now, you got to get this scene, by the way. Jesus has resurrected from the grave. They are now at the top of the Mount of Olives. And if you're standing on the top of the Mount of Olives, and that's east of Jerusalem, you can turn around and you can look back a little bit this way, kind of southwesterly, and about a day's walk, or not really even a day's walk, but it's just rough territory, down a big hill, across the Kidron Valley, and up another hill. And it takes a little bit of time to get there to the other side. It's not very far, though. But when you walk back over into the old city, over here about that direction would be the upper room that they're going to go to after Jesus ascends up on high. If you're reading in Matthew 28, the last few verses, you're looking at the ascension of Jesus. It's where the Great Commission is given. When you're looking at Acts chapter 1 right here, you're looking at that ascension when Jesus went into glory. Now, he tells them something. Look here at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. In other words, Jesus is saying, you've heard me. They heard about it in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And he says, for John truly baptized with water. That's what they knew. They knew the baptism of John. But he's saying, there's another baptism that's headed your way. Here's the trick to this. Here's the disciples. Now watch this. They have watched and witnessed the miracles of Jesus. They have seen Jesus alive. They have walked with him. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him turn five loaves and two fish into enough to feed over 5,000. They've seen him raise the dead. They've seen all these miracles. And they feel like we know Jesus pretty good. We are ready for ministry. We've seen Jesus before the resurrection. We've seen Jesus after the resurrection. I don't think anybody can be as prepared as we are, Lord. And the Lord's saying, you know what? You're not prepared. Because you won't be ready or equipped for ministry unless the Holy Spirit is active and operating in your life and in your heart. In other words, he knew those disciples would mess up at word go. And so he says, there's a baptism coming, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That would be at Pentecost. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're a little confused on timing. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now watch how Jesus redirects them to what he was talking about in verse 4 and 5 and 6. He says, but you shall receive power, dunamis, where we get our word for dynamite. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The first thing that we see that God does right here is he leads us in our witness. It's on your outline. He leads us in our witness. He accomplishes his work via the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. He told them about the mansions in heaven. He told them, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he begins to introduce them to this comforter that's coming. John 15, he tells them, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing, with the vine and branch parable. John 16, he gets a little more detailed with the Holy Spirit. And he talks about the Holy Spirit and his role in ministry in their life. And about prayer and about power and about God's work and about how Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is going to convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. It's the empowerment of his church. John chapter 17, we see Jesus bow his head in an intercessory prayer, and he prays for his church. He prays for those who will believe because of their word, because of your word. We baptized Addison this morning. It's still working. God's still answering that prayer of Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. And then you get to 18 and you see his arrest, and 19, and before you know it, you're in 21 and post-resurrection. And he said, I've written all these things that you might believe. Now, it's important that we understand his witness. You know what our problem is? We don't surrender to the Lord. We want control. Our human nature is I got to be in control. The Holy Spirit says, no, I've got to be in control. So we go to war with God. And we tell God, God, I'll give you control of what I give you permission to control. And Jesus backs up and says, no. Mm-mm. You'll give me your whole surrender. You'll give me your whole life. And then I'll take the wheels of your life. I'm God and I'll give my glory to no one else. Because what happens is we tend to operate the Lord like a remote control. Jesus, this is an area I feel safe in, I feel comfortable in, and it's right up my alley. Jesus, you can have total control of this area of my life because I already know kind of where it's headed. Do you think he's going to answer that prayer? I'm going to tell you what he asked for, total surrender. When I was first called to preach, I was the least expected to be called to preach. I couldn't speak well. I was shy speaking in front of people. I had panic attacks like you wouldn't believe. I had nerves. And I had a master plumbing license. Why in the world would the Lord want to call me out of that? Life was going pretty good. But I knew within 6 months of my salvation that God had called me to preach. But I knew I wasn't ready. After a period of a few years, doors began to open where I could preach. And teaching an adult Sunday school class. And it's embarrassing to share this, but I hope it helps you. That's why I'm going to share it. For 6 years, before I took my first church, for 6 years, every single Sunday, I had a panic attack. Drove Teresa crazy. And I didn't ask for those panic attacks. They just came on me. And I couldn't understand where they were coming from. I went to doctors. I consulted with other pastors. I did everything I could think of to get over those panic attacks. And I got angry at God. I'd go to a church, first thing I'd do when we got out of the car at the parking lot, I was supply preaching. I'd go and I'd ask the guy at the front door, one of the ushers, where's your restroom? Because I'd be so messed up, I'd have to go in the restroom, and most of the time I'd throw up. My heart was so messed up. But I knew I was called to preach, and I wasn't going to say no. One Sunday, Teresa and I are going to First Baptist of Winona. I'm supply preaching for the pastor there. And on our way, we're on 757. And a panic attack hit me. I didn't ask for it. And I mean, my heart went to racing. My whole body went out of whack. I couldn't have told you my name. I could have told you Teresa's name. But I couldn't have told you my name. I was so nervous, so messed up. And I got angry at God. I said, God, why did you call me to preach? I can't speak. My words get backwards. I'm the worst guy you could have ever called to preach. Why did you call me to preach? And I got angry at God. And the Lord went to pressing upon my heart, Matthew 10:20, which I quoted nearly every Sunday, and where he will give you the words to speak. And I prayed. We pulled over. I said, Teresa, just pull over on the side of the road. I'm so frustrated right now. I don't know if I can continue in ministry. I said, why should I have to go through this kind of turmoil? Why hadn't God answered my prayer? I have prayed profusely for him to remove this from me. Why hadn't he answered it? And the Lord put that verse on my heart, and I turned there and read it. For the first time, I had quoted that verse hundreds of times. For the first time, I recognized a word in the verse that I had not thought about the way I should. It's the word Spirit. And I realized that what I had been praying for, God had already given me. But I was not walking in the Spirit. When I got up to preach, I could feel the anointing. I could feel His presence. And the Lord showed me that Spirit that is equipping you to preach is the same Spirit that will equip you to be prepared and to avoid the panic attacks. And so I said, Lord, my prayer changed. I said, Lord, and I yelled it out loud because I felt the Holy Spirit taking the burden off my shoulders. I said, Lord, you can have my messed up speech. You can have my personality. You can have every detail of my life. It's all yours, God. All of my weaknesses, they're yours. And Lord, be glorified in my weaknesses because it's all I've got. And I offer you what I have. And I take great pleasure from this moment on in giving you all of my weaknesses for your glory. And I want to tell you, I experienced a peace from that moment that I've had ever since. Never again have those panic attacks hit me. And the reason is God has the Holy Spirit to give you in representation of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's like walking and hanging on to His yoke of Matthew 11:28. He says, my yoke is light, my burden is light. And He wants us to yoke up. And the only way we can do it is with His Spirit. Y'all, we can't boss God around. We can't tell Him, you bless me here, but you can't have me there. I tell you, until we come to grips with the fact He's God and we're not, your life will be frustration. You have to give Him your whole being. You have to surrender and say, Lord, you have my all. You have my weaknesses. You have everything about me. You have my all. Here it is, Lord. Use me for your glory. And when we do that, life suddenly changes. A joy unspeakable comes. A peace that we cannot describe overwhelms us. Why? Because now we are being directed by the Spirit of God instead of ourselves. The Bible says a man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. So he gives us power to witness. But John 15:26, he says, but when the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, the Trinity is all over verse 26, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness. Then in verse 27, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Go on down to verse 5. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Now watch this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him, person. The Holy Spirit is not a it. Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now skip to 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, watch this, He will guide you into all truth. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own. Authority is added, should be italicized. He will not speak on His own, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Now watch verse 14. He will glorify me. That's the work of the Spirit. You say, how do I know if the Holy Spirit's working in my life? Or if you're giving all the glory to the Lord and you're exalting Him. That's how you know He's at work in your life. If you are exalting the Savior, then you're going to automatically be a witness of the Savior. Because it's hard to be passionate and in love with Jesus and not tell others about His saving power and what He's done in your life. He says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Powerful. But you know, not only does He lead us in our witness, He leads us in our purpose. Flip over to verse 32 in chapter 2 of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. It's interesting because if you look in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, we are introduced the first time to the Holy Spirit. You go there and you see the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters. God is creating, and I look at that like he's got all of his materials gathered together. It's like building a house, and they're all stacked in a pile. There's all his materials. And the Holy Spirit, the word for hovering is the word we have for brood, like a chicken brooding over her chicks. And he's brooding, he's hovering over the waters, over creation. He is ready for the word, that at the word that things will take place. Let there be light, there's going to be light. Anything he calls for, the Spirit is going to be engaged with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and the Father with the Son, and the Father with the Spirit. And they're all ready for action as creation is about to take place. And then we see the Spirit again when you and I are recreated in Jesus Christ by the regeneration of the Spirit of God through the Word. You and I are begotten unto the Father. And the Spirit is the active agent in your salvation when you give your heart to Jesus. He is wooing you, and he is convicting you, and he is drawing you, and he is presenting the case of Jesus Christ before your eyes so that you can make a choice. Maybe you're hearing it through a preacher, or maybe you're hearing it through a grandmother or through a witness. But whatever it is, you're hearing about it, and the Spirit is revealing it and making it real to you so that you can make a decision for Jesus Christ. He's at work in your recreation. He was at work in creation. It's powerful when you think about it. And interesting thing is, here's the disciples gathered together in the upper room. I got a feeling there was a little bickering going on. I got a feeling they're like, good night, day 9. When is the promise coming? And on day 10, day 50 after the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost had fully come, not the day before, but when it had fully come, what happened? The Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind and filled that place. You say, why wind? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, for you don't understand, the Spirit is like the wind. And when the Spirit comes and the Spirit takes control and the Spirit takes over, it changes the human heart. It changes the ministry of the person. And so here they are, and they've waited patiently. Well, maybe not. And day 10 has come, and the Spirit comes, and suddenly something happened in their heart that they weren't ready for on day 9. Had they gone out and tried to win the world to Jesus on day 9, they were not ready because they weren't waiting from the power from on high. You see, we can't minister in the flesh. We have to minister in the Spirit. And that's each one of us. That's not just pastors. That's all of us. And so the Spirit comes, and suddenly, how would you like to be able to not know any other languages, to suddenly be speaking a language you've never spoke before? That began to happen. Because at Passover and at Pentecost, people from all over the world have gathered in Jerusalem. And here's these disciples, and they suddenly step out with a gospel message and power, and Peter jumps out there and begins to preach. And the other 11, the Bible says, and Peter with the 11, and they begin to minister, and they're speaking. A tongue of fire fell upon each one of them. In other words, each one of them now is speaking a different language, and they're winning a multitude of people from every nation to Jesus Christ for his glory. And to this day, in 2019, you and I are experiencing the fruit of that. You can go all over the world, and you'll find believers. It's an incredible thing. I want to tell you, you may feel in the minority. You're not in the minority at all. You're in the majority. You're on the side of the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, not just the Bible, you're on the side of His very breath. You're on the side of life. You're on the side of resurrection. You're on the side of power and prayer and love and redemption and blood and forgiveness. You're on that side. And so when the world comes up to you and says, you're the minority, you're the hate monger, you're the this, and you're the that, you say, no, I'm not. I'm a child of God, identified with Jesus Christ, and I'm on my way to glory, and I'll never die, and I'll live forever and ever and ever. That's what you are in Jesus Christ. You're identified with the Savior. Their purpose suddenly was revealed. Look at verse 32. This Jesus, Peter now is preaching, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Interesting. Now all of a sudden they're witnessing. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, watch this, he poured out this which you, and this is what you want to underline and circle, which you now see and hear. Day 9, they wouldn't have seen it. Day 10, they see it. Which you now see and hear. And then he quotes from David, verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know. Now I want you to see something right here. Not only is their purpose being revealed, confidence and courage and boldness is coming by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know what that means to them? He is not only your King, Jehovah God. He's your Messiah that you've learned about since you were a baby. He is the anointed Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I bet they were. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, the very name of the one you crucified, and you were yelling out, crucify him, crucify him. Now you got to bow a knee to this Savior that you put on the cross. But it was a part of God's plan that you put him on the cross for our salvation. He says, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. Catch that word? The gift. When do you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? He just told us right here in verse 38. Read it again. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's forgiveness, that's salvation, that's regeneration, that's cleansing. All wrapped up in those three words, remission of sins. Then he says, here's what's going to happen when you do that. And you shall receive. The Bible says in John 1:12 that those who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. And you shall receive the what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. He's saying it's going to come because you're getting right with God. You see, God doesn't clean us up to leave us hanging. And he gives us the Spirit. The Bible said we've been sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Then skip down to verse 42. By the way, in verse 41, 3,000 souls were added. By verse 42, you see the passion. He leads us in our passion, starting in verse 42. I want you to see what happened after this day. They had a new passion. And they continued that steadfastness, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Amazing how God changed them. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Why? Because now they found their purpose. Why? Because now they found how to be witnesses. Why? Because now they have a new passion. Verse 44, now all who believed were together, that's unity, and had all things in common. Is that powerful or what? You see, our problem is God's trying to lead us, but we're oftentimes saying no. That's our problem. We say yes to the things that we approve of. God, we'll get on the same page with you, and we'll brag on ourselves of how we're on the same page with you if it's something I agree with you. But Lord, if it's something you're asking me to do that I don't have the answers to, then Lord, I'm sorry, but you can't have me. You can't lead me. I've got to have control of this. And that grieves his Spirit. He loves you, and he knows your future. You don't. And he has blessings untold for those who say yes to the Spirit of God. That's the question today. Will you say yes to the Spirit of God? Let's pray.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.